Happy anniversary.
This album's celebrating an anniversary.
Hello, Sam Smith.
Kia ora tato, morena.
Kia ora, yeah.
How's everybody?
Yeah, how are you?
Good.
Text in 5395 if as well and tell us how you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so I don't know if you're addressing me or like everybody.
Just everybody, you know, the cosmos.
Yeah, I'm interested in putting it out there. Seems like everyone's having a pretty good day today.
Yeah,
though.
Well, you know, a good start to the week. And what better way to continue this good start by looking at Talking Heads. And their 1983 album, Speaking in Tongues.
If you have ever been a teenager or currently are one, you should keep this will shape your life has shaped your life.
It's a very impressive album. It's their fifth studio album and it's turning 35. So getting into that middle age period now.
Yeah.
So, of course, just a bit of background about what was going on with Talking Heads around just in the lead up to this album. So, obviously, they started off as this new wave sort of post-punk band in the New York scene in the late 70s. But on their previous few albums, they kind of changed their sound slightly and they went down a more kind of experimental route. This was largely thanks to working with Brian Eno, who produced their previous few records, including the highly acclaimed Remain in Light. But they just recently split with him as their producer, and they went on a hiatus for a couple of years doing solo projects and various stuff. So when it came to regrouping for this particular record, they had no producer. So they decided for this album that we're going to self-produce the record. And the result of this was yet another change of direction and sound for the group. And on this album, they went down a more kind of poppier slash funkier slash dance route, I guess. Maybe you could call it a more commercial route. Stylistically, they incorporated more groove-based sounds into their music. David Byrne, of course, was becoming very interested in African music. So there's definitely an influence coming in there. And it's quite remarkable, this change of sound, when you consider the sound of their first two records and how anchored that was in the New York scene and the post-punk scene and how quite guitar-heavy it was just 5 years ago. This was a complete change of direction, and
for the best.
They really wanted to make like a commercial push musically, and the style of music on this album is definitely reflected in that. And no better track to showcase this is the first track we're going to listen to, which is "Burning Down the House." Of course, it's the opening track, the first single. It's a classic song, one of their most well-known songs. It also became their biggest hit ever, reaching number 9 in the United States, number 5 in New Zealand. And it's...
And number 1 in our hearts.
Well, it's still being played all over the world at parties and clubs and all sorts of, you know, bars.
Yeah.
It's just survived the test of time. It's been covered so many times. I was looking up the other day.
Tom Jones.
Yeah. Well, I think that was the first time I heard this track was the Tom Jones version, and I was like, this is a Tom Jones song. I had no idea it was like a Talking Heads song.
But then like the Talking Heads one is like way better
as well,
because I'm part of that generation too, being like, what? And that was like my introduction to Talking Heads.
I know, crazy.
And I was a bit like, wow, this is such a good song that like it doesn't even matter who sings it. It's just, it's going to be good.
It is
it's
good.
It's going to shine through.
It's got groove and it's so good.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm so glad that I found out about the originals.
Mm.
Because, yeah, this is going to be awesome. Cool.
Start your dancing.
Yeah, yeah. Why to my fire?
Put on your dancing shoes.
Oh, there it is.
Slow build up.
It's a very slow build up.
We'll be right back.
That was awesome. I just had a really lovely conversation with a caller who came and called up. That's what callers do. And he was talking about the night screenings at 11 p.m. on the weekends at the Embassy Theatre, which was where the St. James was. And he said that they did these night screenings over the weekends for months, and it was pretty much like a party.
The Stop Making Sense film.
Yeah, like we should. Oh yes, the Stop Making Sense film. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't specify that. But when I saw it, I felt like I was at a party and I was watching it on a tiny screen.
Cool,
so I could,
isn't it?
Yeah, I reckon they should just do that again. It's the film festival coming up.
They should. That's one of the best concert films of all time.
Yeah, but like concert films in general, like, you know, there's the one like The Last Waltz.
Yeah, that's another good one.
Yeah, I mean,
they should do that at night, like nights and stuff, and have a party.
Even like Bob Frisbee's making the one about the Golden Dawn. Like, massive screen.
Dancing in the aisles.
Yeah, go to the party.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of these tracks were performed on that in that film. Yeah, it just became a cult classic.
Mm.
And the next track we're going to play, actually, was definitely remembered for in that film, because this was the song he was wearing, the big oversized suit.
Oh, yes.
The song is called Girlfriend Is Better, and it's track 3, very strong funk dance groove to it. And they actually released the version from Stop Making Sense as a single as well. Very groovy track.
There it is.
Take you away, ruby, and take it for a ride.
He's coming, isn't he? He's coming in November. Coming,
and you gotta go.
Gotta
it's
go,
be
gotta
good.
Get there.
It's gonna be damn good.
Yeah, so David Byrne is coming in November.
Playing Talking Heads classics and David Byrne solo material as well.
Thanks very much to the caller who reminded us of this spectacular event.
I know, and his stage show is really good. It's just him and his band, and they're all carrying their own instrument. They're in grey suits and in bare feet. And
oh, you've done your research.
They just walk around the stage with their instrument, and it's damn good.
Cool, yeah.
If you get a chance, go on YouTube and find some of the footage from the concerts. Pretty cool.
Awesome, yeah. Awesome. All right.
With that, we're going to play the next track, which is track number 8, the penultimate track on the record. It's called Pull Up the Roots. Again, just like Girlfriend is Better, very funky, especially with the guitar licks on this track and the rhythm section as well. And yeah, enjoy. Loving the 80s drums here and the synths.
Oh yeah, the synths are going hard.
Bringing it back.
Hard out synths. Do-ka-do-ka.
I feel nice when I sing this song.
Party Monday, Party Monday.
What a tune. I was dancing. Were you dancing?
Yes.
Shout out Tina Weymouth on bass. God, she's just a badass bass player. Woo.
Yeah, for those of you who are not in the know, there's also a spin-off band that happened, Tom Tom Club,
yep.
Which is one of my great favourites as well.
Yep.
Yeah, so, you know, I've actually got the vinyl of it. I don't have the vinyl of many things, but that was one thing that I do have, and it's been thrashed over the years.
I'm loving that cowbell there as well.
Ooh. Oh, yes.
Who doesn't love a bit of cowbell?
Who doesn't love a bit of the cowbell?
Yeah, all right. So how was this album received? Well, it was a great success, critically and commercially.
Damn right.
It was their commercial breakthrough, taking them from a bit of a fringe underground status to mainstream status.
Mm.
Went to number 15 in the US charts and also crossed over into the dance world, peaking at number 6. And when you hear tunes like that, you can understand why the dance people loved that kind of stuff.
Oh, like kind of like Indie Club.
Indie Club, man.
Yeah.
It was going off.
Hardcore. You can totally dance to this.
Damn,
I don't
right.
think how you can not dance to this.
No, it's just infectious grooves.
Made to dance.
Critics were very impressed with the crossover nature of the album and how it balanced the art pop nature of their previous work with the more funkier sounds. Rolling Stone magazine even called it the ideal party album, which is pretty true. I mean, these songs are great for parties, still are. It's gone on to be seen, I guess, as one of the best records of the 1980s. Rolling Stone voted it 54 in its best albums of the 80s list. And it's also considered one of Talking Heads' best albums as well. And definitely for the rest of their career, they would stay on this trajectory over the next few albums they released, including the Stop Making Sense film and also the Little Creatures album in 1985, which is also quite dance heavy as well. And it definitely was the start of Talking Heads' stellar run in the mid-80s, which saw them become one of the most respected groups of the day. So with that, we're gonna slow things down a touch here. We're going to finish with their second single and again one of their most popular songs, This Must Be the Place, Naive Melody.
Yeah.
And considered one of the best songs of the 80s. Pitchfork voted it the 22nd best song of the 1980s, and it's still around today. It's a bit of an earworm, you can't get rid of it.
Yeah, well, if you're near someone, start dancing with them about right now.
Bye.
Bye bye. Love you, Sam.
Oh, sure.
happy anniversary to that album.
Happy anniversary.